All right. Well, every time we go into lockdown, we're told that you can't have a wedding and you can only have maybe 10 people at a funeral. And that is the current case. Now, there was this very sad situation a month or so ago. Young boy died on a school camp, drowned, I believe, and his grieving family wanted to hold a proper funeral for him in Warrnambool. There were no cases in Warrnambool, but Brett Sutton, the chief health officer, said, no, we're not going to make an exception. So the funeral industry has had a very rough trot, as have many industries over the past 12 or 15 months, but they've come up with some interesting ideas about how funerals can proceed during lockdowns like the lockdown that we're back into now. Our next guest is the grief and loss expert at funeral company InvoCare, Andrew Hogan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom. Good to join you.
Well, thank you for joining us. Now, I got an email detailing some of the things that your company is doing, and I was quite intrigued by it. Now, quite a few funeral companies offer live streaming of funerals, so when people can't attend, they can at least watch it. Is that proving to be popular?
Incredibly popular, Tom. You know, before COVID, live streaming of funerals, you know, would happen from time to time, but it was quite rare. It wasn't something that was done, you know, regularly and with many families. Since the first lockdown last year, and particularly our very long lockdown in Melbourne, live streaming has pretty much become the norm.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bulk of funeral services now, you know, utilise live streaming to get people involved and just to allow people to connect with what's going on in the service.
Okay, yeah, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, even, you know, just meetings and, like, in my daughter's school now, more often than not, if there's a thing that they'd like, a presentation they want parents to see, they just say, we'll make it available online so you don't have to drive in and get a car park and look at it. All right, now I also see that you offer a thing called back-to-back funeral services. What are they?
They're not technically, you can't do a funeral immediately back-to-back because you need to have time to allow the 10 mourners who are present for the first service to, you know, to leave the premises, and then we have to clean, you know, do a clean of the premises, and then we can have a funeral, second funeral shortly after. But some families have decided to do that just to allow, you know, extra people to attend. You know, there's sometimes families that are very large, you know, with many, many grandchildren, and they simply weigh more than 10. So to have a small service first up and then a break to allow those people to clear and to allow us to do the cleaning that needs to be done, and then to bring the second group in, for some families is something that's really been very, very helpful for them.
And to be blunt, how many back, like, have you had ones where they've done it three or four times or just twice or what?
Mainly twice. I haven't heard of that three or four times. It's usually just twice, and that would allow, you know, 20 people to go through.
Yeah, as opposed to
where
10.
You've got larger numbers like that, usually the web streaming and the live stream is the option that families go for. But there's so many other things that people can do, even if they can't be physically at the funeral. There's so many things that people can still do to feel like they're connected. Look, for instance, I was talking to a family not long ago, and they decided that right throughout the service, during the service, that everyone would light a candle at home to signify, you know, that they were there in spirit.
Mm.
People gather around, and everybody decided they had a sing song along. So everybody at home, you know, while they were looking on the webcast, would sing a tune, you know, a favourite song that meant something to that person who had died, or wear a favourite colour during the service at home. You know.
And finally, look, I want to ask you about this thing called the drive-by funeral. So what exactly is that?
It's an interesting concept. You know, the drive past the family home, say on the way to the crematory or on the way to the cemetery after the funeral has occurred, has been something that various people around the world have been doing for many, many years, and it's sort of culture in some cultures. It's very pronounced, and it happens a lot. But it sort of took on a life of its own through lockdown, where, you know, so many people weren't able to join at the funeral. So on the way to the crematory or on the way to the cemetery, the hearse would pass by the family home, and all the neighbours and friends all would come out into their front yards, you know, in their own social bubble, and perhaps with a glass of scotch or a glass of wine or something else, you know, raise a glass as the hearse drove by. And I've been involved in a number of services like that where families have done that. It's really incredible. You see all the neighbours and the friends and the mates out there, you know, cheering the person on as they drive by.
It's funny because this will sound a bit weird, but like when bikies die, they sort of do a similar thing with a procession of motorbikes. I have seen that. All right. Well, thank you, Andrew. Look, it's obviously it's tough times, and people's grief is made worse by the fact that you can't have normal funerals, nor can you have a normal wedding when we go into these lockdowns. I must admit, I'm surprised anybody even plans a wedding at the moment, given the likelihood of lockdowns. Andrew Hogan, grief and loss expert at InvoCare.